Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Okay. Fine. All right. Merge. How do I do this? I'm getting stressing. Okay. Are you here with me, Josh?
I am.
I'm so glad. I apologize to everyone that's listening now or will listen in the future. I had a bit of a hard time with the studio tonight, but I'm super excited because I have a really good person here who is becoming a friend and somebody who has really inspired me. He's a young entrepreneur. How old are you, Josh? Forever 21, but you're just a couple older than me.
24 at the moment.
He's an entrepreneur. He is an inspiring game developer and artist, and he's making a difference with what he does. So I want to ask you a couple of questions, if it's okay. And please feel free to just jump in and say, Terry, I want to talk about this. But this is Josh, and the game developer, artist, making a difference. And how did you get started? Because you told me something the other day that you said you started when you were two. I think you said you learned how to talk or learned how to work on a computer before you learned how to talk, right? So how did that happen?
My dad worked in computers a lot, so we had them around the house, and he ended up teaching me how to use them, and I just kind of ran with it. Ended up teaching my mom how to use the computer before, you know.
Wow.
She even learned how to, and I'm two, 3 years old, and I was on it ever since.
So you were teaching your mom. I know you have an older brother. You were teaching him, and before you were talking and really walking, you're over there loading programs up and doing everything like that, right? And installing things, and that's what you told me. And have you always had a passion for it? Obviously you have, but did you see yourself developing games, an artist, and we'll talk about that too. Did you see yourself doing all of that when you were younger, or did you just know you wanted to work, or how did that go? How was that?
I know, like, when I was really young, that was when you're really young, I wanted to be an artist. Like, oh, I'm good at drawing, and everyone at school is like, oh, he's the kid who can draw. So that was what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to make something. But as I got older, I was, like, really big into games and all kinds of games, board games, video games, everything. So I wanted to make those, and I even made little ones, like little, made my own cards and made card games, and even tried making games with the existing, like, 52 card decks, just for fun, just because I liked making an enjoyable experience even at a young age. It was fun to me.
I like that. And you've never been one to party too much or get into that realm of things. You've always found your joy, your passion, making money. And it's not even, I don't think it's about making money for you. I mean, it is, because you need to, we all have things that we want to buy and pay for. But you just really enjoy that, because I know that you and your dad have told me before that when you got grounded for something, they didn't say you can't go out. They said you just can't be on the internet or be on your computer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, those were my main sources of inspiration and fun. So yeah, that's what I got in trouble for. If I did, that was the only thing they could really take away.
That's funny. I appreciate that. And you're an artist. Okay, so I love drawing, like painting. What kind of art do you do? And then I want to talk to you about your video games, too. So,
Most of it is digital nowadays, just because that's just where I am at this point. And I experimented with it, and it's a lot of fun that can be done with it, and all kinds of techniques can be tried, without having to get all those canvases out. And it just works better with how I work online. So yeah, it's a lot of digital character illustrations. I want to expand my horizons out to, you know, a little bit of everything, landscapes. But right now it's just characters, and especially for social media, everyone wants a little icon or an avatar to represent themselves. So I do that, and I have a lot of fun doing those, making like little caricatures of people that send me a picture of them, and then I try my best to make it in a cartoony, vibrant way that can be displayed easily online.
I like that. So you're doing that. You're drawing the little characters, little cartoon characters, and you say it's digital. So you're not using a paper. You're not using a pen and paper. You're not even using a pen on the computer, however they do that. You're actually doing it. What is digital? Explain that to us a little bit.
It is there's tablets that sort of just act as if it's a mouse, and that's how you end up drawing. So it is kind of like, you know, you're drawing pen to paper, but it's just simulating that so it can be drawn on the computer. So it's just kind of tracing my movements and doing that. Because I do more traditional pen and paper. Sometimes it's just my forte is becoming digital art, and that's what I love doing. So
that's cool. I like that. Did you go to school? Do you feel like school helped you or feed your passion? Or what's your thoughts on that? Because a lot of people are going to listen in tonight or listening already, that they're like, okay, I just got a question, and I'm going to ask you this, because I said we're not doing any questions tonight. But they're trying to do things with art and video games, and they haven't had any school. Did school help you? Did self-study help you? Or did it all help you, your dad, your mom, friends? What was the biggest thing that helped you, you know, go into art like this? And build games. I want to talk about that too. I just said that three times now, but anyway, go ahead.
I did do schooling. My passion definitely started because my dad, when we were out and about, you know, that was the thing he would hand us. He'd hand us a notebook and some markers and some gel pens, and then we would just be drawing. So we had tons of little notebooks filled with little drawings growing up. Still have quite a few of them. See how far we've come is always important to see. I did go to school. I finished high school, and I finished an associate's degree in computer programming. But it did help, but majority of my knowledge just came from self-teaching. The internet was a really good tool, and as platforms like YouTube and even Twitter and things keep people more connected, you know, people are sharing more and more. So there's so much to learn on YouTube. There's so many helpful tutorials on whatever systems you want, whatever art program you're trying to use, even just basics, programming and art and design are there for free for everyone to just find online.
Wow.
And that's where I started taking off, because I didn't know all of this information was here and people are sharing it, and It's easier. It's never been an easier time to learn than it is now. That is for sure.
So you can go on the internet, or you can go onto YouTube, and you can key in digital art how to, or something like that, and someone can find out how to use digital art to draw. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And okay, wow. And so you mentioned something about having an iPad. You do your work on an iPad, or you do it on a laptop, or you do it on a...
It's a graphics tablet. So it was the first tablets. These were the first tablets that came out before the handheld tablets that everyone uses, essentially like big phones. You can absolutely draw on iPads and other tablet devices. That is one of the things it's definitely been more popular. I know a lot of artists switching from their desktop setups to having a mobile setup that is, you know, an iPad with an Apple Pencil. And I've seen lots of people do that, and they're using the same programs just on their iPads. And it works, and it can travel. So you can draw anywhere now digitally.
I love that. That's cool. So you are an artist, and I know I've seen some of your work on you and your dad have shown me some of your work on you have pen and paper, or paper and canvas, however you want to say it, and then the digital work. I know that you talk to people from all over the world, and one of the comments, well, there's been a few of them, but a few comments that you've made to me recently is that your experiences, you want to make a difference. And how do you want to make a difference with your experiences in designing games? And tell us about your games, because I was like, when you told me about being the hero, please share that with us, because I'm going all over the map, and I want to make sure you share with us what you feel. So
absolutely. Like I said, I've always wanted to make games. And first, they're just little silly games, but as I got older and just experienced things and just growing up, I wanted to talk about just life experiences, like make narrative heavy games about just growing up and figuring out who you are. Because it sounds cliche and it sounds like something that, you know, media has probably covered to death, but I still don't see, you know, I don't see my experience out there in movies or in books. I don't see my experience. And I know there are people out there who have had similar experiences to me. A lot of my friends have really similar experiences, and we don't have any comic books or video games that explore our situation. And I want, if it's not going to happen, I'm not going to wait for it to happen. I'm going to do it myself. I want to share my experiences and hope that it resonates with somebody else and maybe helps them, you know, make their life just a little easier, because sometimes all you do is you just need to know that there's other people out there like you and that they are making it work. And even if you're having a hard time, here's proof that someone is like you and they're out there and they're living and they're being their best selves and they're trying to be their best selves if, you know, they're not already.
Okay, so you're talking about being the best version of yourself with some of your experiences, and you've not seen anyone or any game or any, you know, there's a lot of heroes out there, right? I always say we, in the movies, you're either the victim or the hero, right? Or something like that. So when you say experiences like you, I we can talk about this another time, because I know that we're developing a show for you. What do you feel like, what's an experience that you've overcame or that you're enjoying or that you want to put in a game, and there's others out there that have had that or it would help them? So is that okay to ask? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. At this point, you just got to ask the right questions. So, and I'll tell whatever. Growing up, like, wasn't any sort of like extreme hardship for my family, but it was just different. There was a lot of moving. So I ended up, you know, I never got to grow up with one consistent friend group. So there was a lot of change in my life and a lot of adapting that I had to do, because I was always the new kid, just completely and all the time. So, you know, you go through your early life and, you know, your family and your immediate family are telling you, oh, you're smart. Look, you're on the computer, you're doing all this. And, you know, you're going to do such good things. And you grow up in life and you think you're this really, really special person. And, but as you go through school and in life, you realize, like, if you're special, you're not treated any differently. And sometimes, in some cases, I was treated, you know, poorly. I was bullied at school for being different. I was a little bit of a sheltered kid, and so I was just in my own world most of the time. And so when I had to be around other kids, I was often confused because I didn't understand why people were acting the way they were and why they were being so mean. So it was just a little rough growing up, and it took me a while to figure out that there's nothing wrong with me. I just have to learn how to love myself, even if other people aren't. And there's a lot of things that in the world and society are going to put you down. And at the end of the day, if you don't love yourself, there might not be anyone else to love you. So you have to be that one to carry yourself.
Wow, what a great statement. That is definitely... Wow. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So you, when you were growing up, you were in school and it wasn't that you, I mean, it's not that you looked any different. You're a handsome guy. You're, you know, 24 years old and, you know, you dress cool and you do all those things. And, but it's not, you know, you dress comfortable for you. For me, I was like, oh, he dresses like a computer guy that gets to work at home on do what he loves. But for you, you're telling me that you were bullied in school, right? And rather than try to be like everyone, you owned who you were, and you said, I'm going to be the best version of myself, doing what I can do, right? And and so you're telling me, and you want to help others where they, whatever, maybe it's bullying, maybe it's something else that, you know, they don't have to pretend to be something so that they're accepted. Is that kind of what you're telling me a little bit?
Yeah.
Or?
Absolutely. I mean, growing up, that that was something I tried to do. Like I said, I was being really adaptive, and so one of the things I tried to do was just be like everyone else. And I would like to say I got it down at a certain point. I could just blend in with everybody else. It just wasn't me. And I used technology and the internet to find friends, and that was the place that I could be me. It was my escape, where I felt comfortable just enjoying what I enjoy, playing games, being with friends, and just talking, like not having to put on these faces to blend in, to not stick out too much, because that was what I was. I always stuck out. So I thought if I just meld with the wall, then everything would be fine, but it wasn't fine. I felt like I wasn't myself, and every interaction just felt hollow because it wasn't me interacting with them. It was what they expect of me interacting with them, and that's just not me, and that was just not a fun way to go through things.
I hear you. What a great way to say that. I have to tell you. So with doing some of these things that you're doing, did you ever feel, how do I say this, did you ever have problems, or not problems, because they're problems you can overcome sometimes, but challenges, did you ever have any challenges with being depressed, anything like that? Because I work with a couple of people that, you know, that are my clients, right? And some of them are my friends. My daughter struggled with this, trying to blend in, and it gets exhausting, right? You're just like, mm-hmm. I got to do what I got to do. Did you ever struggle with depression or anything like that, or do you understand that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, that was another thing I learned, was just being more conscious of my mental health. You know, I grew up in a house where, like, you wouldn't want to go to a psychiatrist or seek help because that was meant you're weak or something was really wrong with you. And so that was always like a punishment. I remember my mom, you know, threatening me with it. And I didn't want to do it because I felt like it was wrong. And as I, you know, I just experienced things and got to talk to people who understood me, I found out how important it was to just talk about your mental health and with friends, with family, with people who you can trust. Because it just helps you. You become aware of what things make you sad, and not to fall into those holes that, you know, we often dig ourselves into. Something bad might happen in a day, and the only thing that's difference between you becoming really depressed and you just moving on is just how you take it. You have to be just aware of yourself. This bad thing happened. Don't let it drag you down, because it's really easy to just dig yourself in a hole when something goes wrong. And suddenly the world just seems so big and scary. And the same situation can happen, but because of your attitude and how you handle it, it won't be as big of an issue. It won't. It's just you. I mean, this is always going to be hard, and things are going to be thrown at you. But how you deal with it afterwards is the part that's the most important. Like, hindsight is 20/20. We can always see where we could fix our mistakes, but what you got to focus on is how you're handling it after that. And that's the most important part in my book.
Okay. That's cool. So it's not that you make a mistake or that you have to fix something. It's like, okay, after everything's settled, you look around and go, okay, this is what I could do better. This is what I need to do. This is how I'd like mm-hmm. to feel or be, right? Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And you are a game developer. So you told me that some of the games that you're developing, and I think Disney is doing this too, and they're, you know, that the girls are, they're looking at, you know, and the heroines and they're like the princesses, they're like, you know, like the fairy tales that the Disney says, they're making the girls where they're strong, right? They're not like carry me, you know, and all that, and they're their own hero. So in the games that you're developing right now, are you creating some of these heroes with that kind of idea where, okay, I'm here, how do I be the best version of myself, whether I'm a rocket scientist or a waiter or someone that doesn't, you know, who feels like they're not the norm? Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because that was intriguing when you were sharing that with me. So is that okay?
Yeah, I would love to. I have a lot of stories that I want to tell, and I want to tell stories of these atypical heroes, because right now, like, media, movies, and everything is dominated by, like, the same kind of people over and over again. It's the big, strong man, and, you know, saves the damsel in distress. And we are straying away from these stereotypes, as they're just, you know, they're not everybody. And we have now, we have more princesses of color. We have strong princesses that, you know, are taking care of themselves, and they're the hero of their own story. There isn't a man taking care of them. We have more, less macho men, you know, taking up the lead, that, you know, fight with compassion and love, and things that, you know, for a long time, media and society is saying, you know, men aren't, they don't do that. They're strong. They don't show emotion. You know, the only emotion they show is anger. And we're trying to reflect different views now. And that's something I'm really excited to see. We're seeing different kinds of people taking the star of video games. I have a new game came out, and my friends are really excited that there was a Polynesian man, and he's gay. And like, it was a big deal for a release, but they look forward to the time when that isn't the headline of the game, is that there's a gay character, that it's just normal and that it's okay. And it's just another, you know, point on his personality and not like the main selling feature. It's, you know, we just want different people of all colors and shapes and sizes in our stories, because wow, we're all so different. And seeing the same, you know, big, strong white male being the lead of everything, it only works for so many people, you know?
Right. You're right about that. So it's not about him, your game being the hero being gay and Polynesian, for instance. It's about just embracing different. Everything mm-hmm. is, you know, and everybody can be the hero of their own life. That's a mm-hmm. great concept. And you had showed me there was a commercial that really helped you and got a lot of heavy flack from it, or people didn't mm-hmm. like it. Was the Gillette commercial. And can you tell us how that inspired you? Because it inspired me. I was like, wowzer, you know. So.
Yeah, it was a great message. It was just about men and masculinity and how this stereotypical view of masculinity is this cold, unfeeling, you know, angry person who's just in charge. And oftentimes it would be the excuse, you know, boys will be boys, let them do anything, you know, that those two boys are beating each other up. And it's like, oh, it's okay, boys will be boys. And the whole message was, no, it's like, that's, we don't want to say that anymore. We want, men can be better, you know, there's,
right.
especially with like the Me Too movement going on. We just want men to be better. And that was a very bold statement coming from a, you know, a company that sells a product, you know, targeted towards men and these kinds of men. And it got a lot of hate. Personally, it's really confusing to me to see how such a good message of, you know, we can always improve and we can always be better just as people get so much hate. I guess people felt attacked. But honestly, if you're willing to say I've made mistakes and I would like to improve, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, we all make those mistakes growing up. You know, I've done and said things when I was growing up that I'm not going to do that now. And I've acknowledged that I've made those mistakes and I'm just not going to do them. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody does that.
I appreciate what you're saying. And that's great. I'm excited about your games. And I know your dad plays games. You play games. I'm going to start mm-hmm. playing games too. I'm drawing now and everything, but you're a great teacher. So what is your goal with your games and your art? Can you give us a little bit of an idea about that? So, or plot idea or just...
Yeah, the specific type of people that I want to show in my art and in my games is like the atypical guy. Like we have this stereotypical jock kind of character that, you know, he plays sports and eats meat and plays football and, you know, that's dominated media for a long time. You know, in recent years, we've gotten like the lovable nerd types coming out. But even at the end of the day, there's still more people that I feel aren't being represented. I have one character, he's larger and he's really inspired and he wants to do something, but at the end of the day, he doesn't do it. And I feel like that's a lot of people who they have these dreams and these goals, but for whatever reason, they don't push for them. And it's not because they're unable to, it's just, you know, people become complacent or they don't feel like, you know, maybe they don't have enough self-worth to think, oh, I can't do that. It's, even though they totally could. And I want to talk about those people who have these big dreams and goals, but for whatever reason are just having trouble starting them. You know, the world isn't the same as it used to be. You know, it's tougher to find work and jobs and things, especially doing things you love. And I think that's the ultimate goal is, you know, finding yourself and finding a thing you can do that you're happy doing, but also can just live like comfortably. You know, that's, I think at the end of the day, people just want to live comfortably. They don't want these big fancy mansions. Nobody really, like, not a lot of people want these big, huge things. They just want to be able to, you know, go out to eat with some friends on the weekend and, you know, in between their job and life. So that's the big point for me is just, you know, people around my generation who are, you know, they're getting out of school and the world isn't, you know, as advertised, you know, they don't have that job lined up. And so it's dealing with those thoughts and emotions and feelings that come from being put in a world that isn't what it's said to be, but you still have to find your way in it or you're just going to, you know, stagnate and make yourself sad and miserable. And nobody wants to do that.
It's okay to be the best you can be, whatever that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and I want to talk about this, Marcus. We're going to have you on again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll say yes. But in the next show, I would like to talk about millennials or a state of mind. Is a state of mind a state of being, not necessarily a chronological age? You told me that. I was like, wow. I think that's cool. Can we talk about that the next time you get on? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So it inspired me because I was like, I'm a little bit older than you. I'm forever 21. You know, you've got a lot of good stuff there. And your heroines or your heroes are amazing. So I know that people are going to want to see your art or see pictures of it or whatever. We'll talk about that the next time you're on too, if
mm-hmm.
that's okay.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing. Josh is super open tonight, and he mm-hmm. just is. He's got it. You got a big old heart there. Thank you for sharing with us. And we'll see you on hopefully next Sunday if that works, and we'll talk about that and figure it out. But welcome. Your first show is amazing. Anyway, and you guys, you can always listen to this, and we'll talk about Josh and what he's going to do. And you got it. He's got some great ideas. You are a true artist. I love that. Anyway,
thank you.
All right, my dear. Take care. Have a great night, and talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.